Hello, this is Brian McLean, and welcome to Our Story with God, episode 47, Faith in Action. Today, we're going to be looking at the books of Hebrews and James, expounding a little bit on what we talked about last week, and that is the action part of our faith. Now, if you remember, James, who we discussed, had a very unique relationship with Jesus. He was Jesus's little brother. So Mary and Joseph had other children after Jesus's birth. The Bible lists at least four brothers and at least one sister, maybe more sisters. And so most of them apparently did not have much confidence in him in his early ministry. But at least two of his brothers ended up being great leaders of the church after Jesus's resurrection and penned letters that have found their way into modern scripture. And so a little about faith in action. When my oldest daughter was really young, we lived in a very small apartment, not a lot of furniture in this place. Think Charlie Brown Christmas tree and that sort of thing. It's all very small and very tight. We were a very close family at the time. But we did have this one couch, and it seemed like every time I walked past this particular couch, my daughter would have climbed up onto the couch, onto the side, onto the arm, and would jump at me, whether I was paying attention to her or not. And honestly, had I not been watching, I very easily could have dropped her, but I never did. And so I would catch her each time, and she would just look at me and giggle. She was completely fearless. She thought I'd catch her every time, and I didn't let her down. Now, all three of my little girls have tested me in some way, and they love making sure that I can. They love jumping at me. All three of them. I throw them up in the air. They jump at me. I've never dropped any of my kids, and so being a dad in this way has taught me a lot about how we approach God, and really has given me some thoughts about how God must view us as his children. Now, every major religion philosophy in the world has a code of morality. You have to do good things, you have to be good, and various ones have different ideas about what that really means. And in some ways, Christianity is no different because God has outlined what is and is not acceptable since the beginning of time. How could there be any sin to separate us from God if there was no such thing as sin, right? And so in that regard, we're not different. The difference from Christianity and literally every other major view out there is that our version of salvation does not come from the works. There's no sort of weights and balances. For Christians, the good acts that we do, the good morality that we exhibit, is a product of our faith. So salvation doesn't produce good works, salvation produces good works, not good works producing salvation. So it's interesting to think about. And if you look at Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, the Bible says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So the correct order is God's grace, then our faith, which leads to salvation, and then at last, good works. So that's kind of the order. So here we are, we're talking about faith in action. Let's get into this. So faith is clearly more than just mere belief. And so getting back to James, James wrote a great deal about the activity. So when you read James 2:18, "But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works." We discussed that yesterday. So like my little girl, it was not just saying that she believed that I would catch her. It was actually taking that leap. And if you read Hebrews 11, they've called it the Hall of Faith. It's completely full of all of these individuals who actually put shoes on their faith. They actually did what they said that they believed in. And so if you look, Abel offered an acceptable sacrifice. Enoch pleased God. Noah constructed the ark. Abraham left his place for an unknown land. Sarah considered God faithful in his promises. So God actually looks at the things that they do, their deeds, their actions, because of their faith. And look at how he responds in verse 16 of chapter 11. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. That is remarkable. That is truly amazing that the creator of the universe, the Lord of armies, the God who brought out Israel from Egypt with signs and wonders, that God was proud of those who trusted him to the point of actually acting. So he even commends the less than perfect individuals, which is good for all of us because we are all less than perfect individuals, for their actions, such as Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah. So look at Hebrews 11, 32 for those. So does God ever let us go? Is he dependable? Is he worthy of our faith in him? Can we take action and trust him? So if you look at Hebrews 10, 22 through 24, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. So yes, according to the writer of Hebrews, we can be sure that God's going to hold up his promise. Like me and my daughters, God is even better at making sure that we will never fall. He will never let us down when we do what honors and pleases him. And so if you think back, God had been proving ever since those old days for the Hebrews in Egypt that he is strong enough. He is dependable enough. Remember what we talked about with the plagues. God is mighty enough and he's dependable enough. He will hear and he will come. And so therefore, God is proving this all the way on through Calvary that he's still reaching out to us. On Resurrection Sunday, he reiterated his power. And if you read Romans 8, 16 through 17, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. And so we're his children and he's always watching for us to come jumping, right? And he has never, ever lost his grip on any of us. Romans 8, 38 through 39 says, for I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Remember, nothing in creation can separate us from the person who created it all. God the Father has been there the entire time. He is mighty. He can handle it. Go jumping towards him because that's what faith is. It's putting some action behind it. So take a moment, study the word. I want you to look up four passages in the book of Luke. Luke 7:50, Luke 8:48, Luke 17:19, and Luke 18:42. And I want you to see, depending on the translation you have, your translation may say saved you or made you well in these four instances. Jesus is doing things, and he says, your faith has neither saved you or made you well. And my question is, each one of these is dealing with a healing, and I want you to read that and see, do you believe that these verses reflect only physical healing, or do you think there is a spiritual healing in each one of these cases as well? And now something to think about, in Ephesians 2:8, it specifically says that we are saved by faith, but James 2:24 says we are justified by both faith and works. So why do you think that is? Now, something to think about is, remember what we talked about salvation. We are being saved from our sin, and we are being granted by a gracious God eternal life. But justification is a return to a righteous standing before a holy God. And that is only possible when he removes our sin. So take a moment and consider that. Faith brings salvation, but justification comes only through faith and works. So something to think about. Again, send your comments. Love hearing from you guys. Thanks for listening.